right. Well, we're going to today continue in the series on gifts of grace. And there is a word for us, there's always a word for us, in the scripture. We're going to take a look today at, first of all, Joshua chapter 1. If you go there, we'll begin there, Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to endeavor to encourage you in a message that I believe will help you see how the grace of God isn't only, is favor from God, the grace of God we know as God's operational power, God's ability. We've taught all this to you. But also, the grace of God is an active power at work in your heart and mind. Amen? The grace of God is the Holy Spirit at work. The grace of God is the strength of God at work on the inside of you. So today, the topic will be how to stay encouraged. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I will. Stay encouraged. Now, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to take an excerpt from verse 9. It says, the Lord said and gave Joshua instruction through Moses, which said, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? So I will be
strong and courageous.
I will not be discouraged, for the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. Amen. Glory to God. And as we endeavor to teach this word and bring this message to you, I believe that the Lord is going to show you even some more aspects and dimensions of the grace of God. There's so much inside of the grace of God, so much for us to understand, so much for us to receive, so much for us to walk in, that I want us to really embrace this today and take it from the standpoint of how grace helps us to be encouraged. Now, first of all, in our text, when this command came to Joshua, first it was a reminder. Haven't I commanded you? He heard it before. Then he said, be strong, be courageous. Just be strong, have courage. You know, courage, by the way, isn't the absence of fear. No, courage is taking action in the face of fear. In the face of how you feel. Courage is not the absence of fear. All right? I mean emotional fear. Now, spirit of fear, we should never have that. I mean, but just the, you know, the ordinary concern, emotion of fear that comes up, concerned about things, you look at things. Well, put your mind not on the fear or the expectation of what might go wrong. Put your mind on the fact that when God says be strong and be courageous, it's because he's given you something to allow that. Then he said this, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Here's the reason why. For the Lord your God is with you.
Amen.
Wherever you go.
Amen.
Now, if I was going by myself, I would be concerned. I would be very afraid if I was going anyplace all by myself. But he said there that because I'll be with you, I'm going to be your rear guard. Some versions say reward or rear guard. He says, therefore, you can take heart because I'm with you. You know how it is. We draw strength from one another in different ways. We draw, as children, draw strength from the parents. You know, a little child always feels safe in the presence of his father and mother. Amen? Always feels safe. A child feels much differently in the presence of his father than he feels all alone. Well, we thank God. We're still children of God. We're mature. We're grown up folk, but we're still children. And we still need Father God. Don't we need him? He said, and he will be with us wherever we go. Now, that's some really good news. Now, look at Isaiah 40. Let me build up this point I'm going to make to you. Next point I'm going to make is beginning Isaiah 40. Verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. So those who trust or hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, see, what happens is when you feel discouragement, really what it is, it's a depleting of strength, a reduction of strength. And sometimes things drain you of your sense of strength and encouragement. Circumstances, just everyday life. Stuff wears you down, doesn't it? But he says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So we need renewal. Once a month, once a year, at the retreat, or the advance, at the conference. No, we can't wait that long. We're going to the Renew Conference. When's that? 5 months from now. That's too late. One time a friend of mine called another friend of mine who wasn't real good at calling people back. He wasn't keen on calling you back right away. So this friend called the other friend and had a message for him. And the friend was a long time calling back. Finally called back. Said, what's up? He said, man, don't worry about it. I've already died and been resurrected. You know what I'm saying? I was dying when I called you. And I just died in my circumstance and trouble. And by the time you got, I already sought the Lord. He already helped me. Well, you know what? You better live like that. Because folk just can't do what you want them to do sometimes. They can't do it. But it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Word renew there in the Hebrew means exchange. It means exchange. So when you hope in God, then there's an exchange taking place. You're actually exchanging your weakness for God's strength. And you're exchanging your strength for a greater strength. Whatever you have, exchange it. Whether it's a lot or a little or none, exchange it all. Give it to God, because God always has more for you than what you have to give him. You believe that? And the result is they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. So that when we are encouraged through hope, something actually happens. Hope and encouragement is more than a concept. It's actually a power and a force through grace that works in us. So encouragement inspires hope. Hope in the Lord renews strength, and strength causes you to soar, run, and walk victoriously. Y'all receive that?
Amen.
Say it. Encouragement inspires hope.
Hope in the Lord renews
strength. Strength causes me to soar,
run,
and walk victoriously. Amen. See, we're encouraged, and we stay encouraged, not just by hoping for it. Hope is the beginning, but hope takes us into the grace of God. And then whatever you need, then the grace of God provides it. That's why we go from thinking, we go from wishing, we go from talking to folk, and we go to prayer. We go to faith in God, we go to the scriptures, and we receive through grace what we need. Exchange. Amen. Say exchange.
Exchange.
Amen. I bought a case for my phone, iPhone case, and at Best Buy. It was on sale. So I bought it and put it on my phone, and come to find out it wasn't a very good case. It was kind of flopping around. It wasn't really a good case. And it was folding a wallet case. You know, put a credit card in the side and fold it up. Something different. And I thought, didn't look right, didn't feel right, kept sliding around funny. So I jumped on Amazon.com, you know, and found the case I wanted, ordered it, came in, and the case was perfect. It was such a good case, I had to exchange the old one, right? I exchanged the one, returned it to Best Buy for a refund that I already purchased the case I wanted. And so when you find something better, you better go for it.
Hallelujah.
Don't settle. Come on now. And I could have kept the old case, you know. But every time I just saw that case. You know, that case just look, wrist flopping around. That's all right. That's all right. I just put up with it. But see, weeks later, I'd be thinking, you know what? I sold out. And then 30 days would have expired, and I could not return it. So don't trifle with the opportunity to get into the grace of God and the higher dimensions of God's grace. Do not delay. Don't make excuses for where you are. If God has something more for you, amen, go for it. Amen?
Amen?
Now, definitions. The word encouragement or encourage in the Hebrew Old Testament version or Bible, part of the Bible, the Hebrew root means to fasten upon. Yeah, to fasten upon. Encourage is to fasten upon. And it's to strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong. Be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute. Some of the definitions of the word encourage in the Old Testament. Now, other uses of the word, the Hebrew word that's used for encouragement is also used in the Old Testament as strong 48 times, repair 47 times. That's a good term. Think about that. That encouragement is used, that same Hebrew word is used for repair in the Bible. Good thought, isn't it? That encouragement is a mode of repair for you, right? I mean, encouragement can repair, because think about it. When you're discouraged, you're broken. When you're discouraged, you're dysfunctional. When you're discouraged, you're not operational like you should be. Something is missing. But when God, through grace, encourages you, it's like being repaired, isn't it? Amen. It's a repair. Repair, hold, strengthened. Again, words used for the Hebrew word. It says harden, prevail. Again, encourage, of course, is obvious. Take and courage. Take is in there too. The verb form, take. You know, yeah, think about it. When you're encouraged, you are taking something. You're taking hold of something. Again, to fasten upon. You're fastening upon or taking hold of something that's necessary in your life. Now, again, that's for you, but the same thing happens when you help somebody else. That you encourage, through grace, you encourage other people, and thus you're helping repair them. You're helping to attach them to God, to the grace of God. Because think about it. If you're helping somebody and you offer words of encouragement and they say, well, thank you for that, and you leave it there and don't really teach them or give them, you know, scripture and other tools, then guess what? They're going to just hear that word. The word fades away. They haven't fastened to it. When people fasten on to God's word and God's grace, when you leave their presence, they still have it. They still have it. They know what to do with it. So then a part of our encouraging is we say the right words, but also we spend some time with people and we teach them, take them through the scripture, show them how to stay encouraged. Amen. How to exchange, right? All these things in lesson today you can help people with, because encouragement is more than words, more than a pep talk. We're imparting grace to people. Say, we're imparting grace. Grace is what everybody needs. Now, in the Greek language, now, Old Testament is Hebrew, New Testament is Greek. The Greek word is paraklesis. And this word to us is familiar because we know parakletos is the word for helper. The Holy Spirit is referred to as our helper, paraklesis. So then paraklesis is related to helping. And so the definition is to urge forward, to persuade, an exhortation, or a calling to one's aid. Two words, again, paraklesis, a compound word, para meaning by the side. Kaleo means to call. To call to the side. You know, God will call you to his side. Amen, somebody? Yes. Encouragement is being called to God's side. You call out to God, he says, here I am. Yes. You call to God, he says, here I am. Come on. Come on up here. Come on up here and have a seat at the mercy seat. Come on and sit. Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time. So encouragement, whether it's for you or you're giving it to somebody, it is the idea and the concept of a calling to one's aid. It's really welcoming God to our side. See, God's always with us. In theology, he's with us. But in practice, we sometimes do not engage in the presence of God. We know he's with us, technically, yes, but we're not experiencing the personal glory of his presence. Follow me? So don't just say he's with me. What you want to do is call upon him until you know and you sense in your space, in your life, he is by your side. His presence. Amen? Glory to God. See, the grace of God is not a concept. It is an active power. Encouragement should follow the working of God's grace in someone's life. I'm going to give you a scripture in a moment here, but think about this. Encouragement should follow the working of God's grace in someone's life. This helps people to connect stronger with the grace of God and recognize how God works. So then, what I'm saying today, let's say if you have an opportunity to encourage somebody, to say a word of encouragement, that's a great thing. It's a good thing. But then when we then spend some time with them, have prayer together, go through some scriptures and some scriptural methods for things, then we are helping them to work with the grace of God. We're helping them engage. See, you gave them a word from the grace of God in you. And folk don't always recognize where things come from. Right? People say, oh, you're so lucky. You think that was luck? You don't know God at all, do you? I mean, to just go, the first thing out of your mouth is, hey, you were lucky. Then how could you don't understand how I prayed and trusted God. And God got me through that. To you, it's luck. To me, it's grace. Amen? So sometimes people you're working with who are either unbelievers or new believers don't understand where the blessings are coming from. Oh, the man upstairs, he blessed me. He got a name. Father God, the Son, Jesus Christ. See, people need to connect with the grace of God. The actual grace of God. The grace that comes from God. Grace did that for you. When you take medicines and do the right things you should do, yes, those things are helpful. But don't forget, everything ultimately comes from the grace of God. Right? Amen. Now, here's the scripture. Example of this instance. Look at Acts chapter 11. It's on the screen as well. So now, in Acts 10 was the occasion when Peter had the vision on the rooftop, the vision of God bringing people together, Jews and Gentiles, and they ministered to Cornelius' house. In his house, they all got saved, and they brought back report to the church. So now in chapter 11 of Acts, we read in verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now, there was also in Acts 10, latter part of 10 and 11, first part, God was moving in Antioch. So he moved in Cornelius' house, then Antioch he moved, Holy Spirit came and fell on people. So then, now we read, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. See the process there? So it was the grace of God that brought the miracles and the blessings of salvation to Cornelius, his whole house, and then to the people of Antioch. The grace of God had done. And so that Bible says, when Barnabas saw what the grace of God had done. See, he knew that whatever had been done in Jesus' name and for God's glory, grace did it. Say, grace did it. Jesus came full of grace and truth, right? He operates through his grace. He operates through his provision, through his power, through his ability that we call the grace of God. And so that when he saw what the grace of God had done, he did what? He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true. It wasn't a pep talk. He actually showed them This happened. God did it through grace. Now, here's how you stay with it, how you walk in it, how you can receive more of what God has for you. See, he actually encouraged them, and not just in a pep talk. He gave them instruction. You follow me? See, these words are powerful. Grace, encouragement are not just concepts. These are power, the power of God at work, forces of the Spirit of God at work in the hearts of people. And that's how we want to justify or explain to you the point I made earlier, that, yeah, the grace of God does it. We encourage folk to help them fasten on to what God said. Hebrews 10, another example. Read together with me, please, from verse 24. Let's read. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the solution on how we may help people, is, he says, to spur them on, to encourage them on through toward love and good deeds. He says, encouraging one another, and so much the more. So the mechanism for sharing love and encouraging folk to do good deeds, doing good works, the mechanism is encouragement. Not demanding, right? Not demanding, you better do this or else. No, but through encouragement, which sounds more like the grace of God is working in you this way. Here's some scripture on how grace works in you. Looks like here's some examples of people who God used in the Bible, how grace worked in them. And God can work in you the same way. Right? Despite your circumstances, despite your fears and concerns, encourage is literally to empower with courage, to infuse with courage. And so when you bring people scripture and prayer and instruction, you're actually the grace of God from God through you is going into them. Like teaching a person how to ride their bikes, right? I taught all my four kids how to ride the bike, and the method was all the same. The method was not, here's a bike, get on it and ride. That wasn't the method. Be encouraged. You can ride this bike. Go for it, son, ride the bike. That would never work, right? I'm going to stand back and say to you, be encouraged, ride the bike. No, you have to. You don't have to do. You have to place them on the bike, hold the back of the seat, right? Ask them to pedal. You got to run behind them. All this on a field, now not a parking lot, not on asphalt and concrete, in a field, right? And so you run behind them so their brain can figure out what the balance is like. And then they get some of that, you let them go, and they wobble a little bit, they fall, get back up, get on, and then you do it again. You're encouraging, right? You're training, you're infusing. And so you keep doing that. And then what always happens is, they get it. The brain just gets it, and the balance comes. And before long, man, they're off and running. They're riding a bike. Get away from you. Now, they can't stop too well yet, you know. You can't catch them before they fall, before they stop. But in a matter of a few minutes, they're riding a bike because you encourage them with your ability, as it were, your grace, the grace in you, your ability, engage with them. Help them learn to ride the bike. Now they ride a bike, and you never forget. See, once you learn to ride, you never forget. So this is how God works through us. We engage with people. As you said in the scripture, we encourage one another. We stir them up. We spur one another on to love and good deeds. Hey, we're going down to juvenile center. Come with me. Going to the training meeting, come with me, come, let's go together, let's go here, let's go there, because you have to show people how it's done. Matter of fact, training, there's a fourfold process to training, four keys. First is, I do it, you watch me. Second, I do it, you help me. Third, You do it, I help you. Fourth, you do it, I watch you. Make sense? Yeah. So then that's the process of engaging with people until they have learned it. And so God does the same with us. Y'all receive that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we've been renewed day by day. This came up in our men's meeting yesterday. And a certain brother had a question. He's like, why can't I remember things? I can't remember scriptures like I want to. But when I need it, it's right there for me. I can't remember the scripture, but when I need what the scripture says, it's there. I have it. I said, well, brother, it's old age. That's what that is, old age. It sounds a little bad coming out, but it's kind of true. Then I found a scripture that said this, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Right. So physically, now wasting away does sound pretty bad. I wouldn't say wasting. I'd say, you know, we're changing. I just changed the Bible says. Outwardly, we're changing. Because wasting away just sounds too, it sounds too real. Amen. But the thing is, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. You've never been better in every way that counts in your heart, in your mind. You've never been better. So while we all have changes physically, don't let that discourage you. Don't be discouraged by what's happening in the outward realm of life, but be encouraged by what the grace of God is doing in the inward man, renewed day by day. And even outwardly, of course, you know, God preserves us, keeps us. We live a long and happy life. Amen? With health and strength. So that we don't focus on what we are missing out on. I can't jump as high as I used to. But you're smarter than you used to be. Amen. Being smarter is much better than jumping higher. Amen, somebody. In fact, there was a time when I did play basketball in my late 30s and 40s. We'd almost always beat young guys. 20 guys jump over the backboard. We beat them all the time because we were smarter than them. We just played smarter. He jumping around. He got the basketball. We just take the ball away. He trying to dribble through his leg, just shoot, snatch the ball away. Because you know that. See, listen, if a guy dribbles a ball, watch this now, when the ball is in his hand up here, he's about to go down, he has no control over it. So as soon as the ball is in his hand, swipe, you got the ball. Now, you learned that from playing a long time. He can't control the ball going down. So again, point is, do not be discouraged. But outwardly, we are changing. Now I got to say what the Bible says. We're wasting away. But inwardly, just skip the whole part and go to the last part. Inwardly, just skip the first half of that verse. Go straight to the last part. Inwardly, we are being renewed. Say, it's 2 Corinthians 4:16b. If you do that, I got to say B. A or B, got to say B now. You got to say B. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. That's a tremendous blessing, right? That's a tremendous scripture right there. Because the grace of God is doing that for you. It's the grace of God renewing you. Not once a week, once a month, every day you're being renewed. You're exchanging. Every day is an exchange of strength. Every day. Y'all should receive that. Y'all should confess that, amen? I mean, get up in the morning and just say, thank God I am renewed again today. Another day of renewal. Now, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart because this is, let's see here. Okay. We don't lose heart because for every subtraction to our outward life, God provides addition in your spiritual life. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't lose heart because for every subtraction you may experience in this physical realm, God provides an addition. That's renewal. See, renewal is something new. Renew. It's the same thing, renew. And so life does subtract from you, no doubt about it. But God adds much more than life can subtract from you. Or as the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. All right, Acts 15, another example. Acts 15, verse 30. So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. Now, the context is there was a council in Jerusalem. They resolved some issues, wrote a letter, and that went out to the churches to be read in congregations, some instructions, some guidance on an important matter, or several matters. So it says, they went, letter was delivered, verse 31, the people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Now see, the encouraging message of the letter wasn't just, you know, y'all be happy, it's all good, it's going to be okay. It wasn't pep talk. The encouraging message was the content of the letter. The contents, everything they had wrote down, they had discovered and discussed in the meeting, they had distilled into some instructions. And so those instructions were then given out to the churches by letter. And the Bible says the people read it and were glad, they were blessed for the encouraging message, the empowering message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. See, prophets are supposed to do that. A lot of prophets go around talking about gloom and doom and what's going wrong with the world. I mean, prophecy may have that element, but the Bible says, by and large, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the highest use of prophecy. So then, this is what happened. God encouraged them by letter. And here comes Judas and Silas right behind that. And they reinforce what the grace of God did. Again, the grace of God works and we encourage it. We encourage whatever the grace of God has done to help people to be attached to God, attached to what God has done. You ever see that? Encouraging is a powerful, powerful principle. Not just nice words, but it is in fact a specific grace from God. Amen. Now, I'm going to close here. I'm going to go back to my first slide here. I'm remote control this here, so that's why I'm a little bit slow on it today. There we go. All right, let's go back and look at Joshua 1 again. Let's close it. The point we began, Joshua 1. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and read the full verse. That's the excerpt. Let me get the full verse. There it is. All right, again. The instruction was, have and I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now you think this, then if I'm discouraged, how can it change by someone saying to me, do not be discouraged? That's my problem. I'm discouraged. How can you say, do not be discouraged? I'm already discouraged. It's too late. I'm already afraid. But God is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What it is an invitation to engage with the grace of God. An invitation to come right up out of that discouragement, right up out of the fear, Because the answer to the whole question was, and the solution is, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So my places of fear and discouragement are places where I have not embraced the presence of God like I need to. Because it's not possible I'll have a spirit of fear in me at the same time I'm embracing a sound mind from God. Amen? It's not possible that I would be experiencing discouragement in the same time and space in which God is with me saying, be encouraged, and here's my grace, and what I'm doing for you now, I'm with you, come on, walk with me, let's go over here, let's do this and that. It's not possible to stay discouraged if I choose to walk with God. Amen, somebody? I'm not saying you'll come out of it quickly always, but you will come out. You will come out of whatever darkness or defeat you may be in. You will come out of it when you lean into the grace of God. Amen, somebody? I mean, if the room is dark and you walk out of it into the light, you're out of the dark room into the light. My first trip to California, you know the story. If you don't, you know it in a minute. First time on the airplane, first time in California. Went to Los Angeles, the Crenshaw Christian Center. Dr. Fred Price was having a pastor's conference. And I was so excited. It was November. It was cold here. It was warm there. First time seeing the ocean. And palm trees and sunshine in November. I mean, warm weather and sunshine. We got sunshine here, too, you know, when it blows zero, sunny. It don't seem right, though, amen? So here I was, and so I go on the campus, the church campus. It's a big conference, and I got a little bit late. I got there. I wasn't late, but they arrive early at that church, and all the pastors were there, like, way early. I was on time, but not super early, and so at the time, they were in a smaller building, hadn't built a faith dome yet. They were a smaller building. Sanctuary, and so that was already filled up. And now we're going into the overflow rooms, all right? And so one overflow room was like a gymnasium. They had a projector in there, had a big screen, an image. But because it was, you know, a projector, the lights were off. It was dark in the room. Because the screen, you know, wasn't very bright with lights on. So I go in the room, a whole line of us, got ushers are directing us there. We can walk in there and walk this way, that way, this way, and wind up in this room. So I sat down in this dark room. And every time the door opened, the light would come in. You know, door opened up, and the light would come in, and people come in, and door closing in. Now I came all the way from Indiana. And in my mind, I just can't be in no dark room. You know what I'm saying? Not today, I just got here. And so every time the door opened, the light flooded, I'm like, God, look at that. I see sunshine out there. I see some green grass and a palm tree off in the distance. And the usher told me to sit down over here. Service hadn't started yet. But the thing is, they want nobody wandering around, see? Listen, you can wander around the campus. You're either in this building or you're in that building. You're not walking around the campus. Can't do that around there. I thought, Lord, my heart was broken. I'm like, I just got to get out of here. I made a run from the border, y'all. I felt so bad. So then I eased my way over where the door was. Next time it opened up, I went for the door. But the funny part was, a bunch of folk went with me. Now, I know it's rebellion. I know it's wrong. And it wasn't really wrong. And so I went out the door. Usher said, what are you out here for? I said, because the sunshine. I said, I know, man. It's nice, isn't it? The usher was outdoors. He knew how nice it was, man. He said, go back in there. He just said, fine, man. Don't worry about it. I mean, he wasn't. So it wasn't like they were being legalistic about it. They just wanted people to have somewhere to sit. And no one stopped me from going back out. So my point is, you have to recognize sometimes you have to go for the light. You have to go for the thing you know your heart is yearning for. Don't sit in the darkness when there's light available to you. Amen? That day, that's how I felt about that. Now, later on, I'm going back and sat there, but I've been in California many times by now. So praise God, church, be encouraged, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Go in for the grace of God. Go for the grace. When the door opens, go. The light shines, go toward it. Don't settle. Don't settle. Say, I won't settle. Because there's too much for you where God's taking you. And he's with you wherever you go. Amen? Let's all stand.